so I want to share it with you. How many of you ever heard a Calvin and Hobbes comic? Yeah. Okay. I want to tell you a little comic that I saw, and it was this. Calvin says, "Live for the moment is my motto. I mean, you could step off a curb and into the road and wham, it'll be over in just a second. A cement truck could take you out. You never even know how long you've got to live. That's what I say, live for the moment." Then Calvin looks at Hobbes and says, "What's your motto, Hobbes?" And Hobbes says, "My motto is, quit looking down at the ground and look up at the road." This morning I want to share a message with you about deliverance. And the message titled, Deliverance Now. As we look up, and you look up from the road and everything going on around you and the treacherous life that we're living now, if you look up, get your eyes off of that and look up, God has deliverance for you. He has deliverance for your family. For those who are looking down that are all around us, like Hobbes looked at Calvin and said, you need to look up. That's our call. We're not only called to keep our eyes looking up, but we're also called to call for others to look up. The salvation is now. Your deliverance is now. And so as I share the message with you this morning, I want you to understand it is a message of deliverance for everyone. You see, a man can go 28 to 30 days without food. He can go 3 days without water. I don't know how he does that. And he can go 30 minutes without air. But not anyone can go one moment without hope. Hope is the thing that people need today and are desperate for. Just yesterday, I found out from my neighbor who came over and we talked that his son, who's 16 years of age, plays on a soccer team. And a good friend of his on the soccer team committed suicide. Suicide rates in America are so high, they are astronomical. Suicide rates have gone completely out of sight. Not only that, I was told by a nurse this past week, I went and had my PT outpatient, and one of the things he said was, not only has suicides become out of control, alcoholism, drug overdose, our hospitals are full of people like that. Some of the cases of COVID that we find that are tested positive are people who are coming into the hospital with drug overdoses, and they test them and they find out they have that. But that's not the real problem for many of our young people today. It is a tremendous lack of hope. I believe in our society, all around us are people with no hope. They can drive a car, they can pay their bills, they can look at you with a smile and say, how was your day? But they have no hope. And as Hobbes looked at Calvin and said, look up. Take your eyes off. There is hope. I want you to know that's our call as Christians. We're not called just to be good people. We're called to look up and to share with others the deliverance that they need. The world around us, when they lose their jobs, they go online to hunt for jobs or job hunting experts to help them. Christians first turn to Jesus. The world around us, when they are hit with sickness, run to the doctors first. But Christians first turn to Jesus. The world around us, whenever there is threat at their door to turn them in fear. They arm themselves. Whereas Christians, what they do is they turn to Jesus. There are those that find themselves today with injustice, and immediately they turn and start violently taking down others. But Christians turn to Jesus. I could go on and on, but our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust in the greatest doctors, in the greatest scientists, in the greatest politicians. I dare not trust in the sweetest frame, which are those. My trust is on Jesus, and I wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All else is sinking sand. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Then Jesus went about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is truly plentiful. The laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest." Today, we stand in a day of need. And it's notice what Jesus said there. "Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers." When? The labor truly is plentiful today. I don't know how many of you know about harvest. But farmers have to go out and analyze the crops, and they say, "Now is the time for harvest." They don't set it 6 months in advance. Oh, they have a date that they're shooting towards. But they have to wait on the harvest. They have to wait on the crops. And when this scripture was said, Jesus was reminding them that the harvest is now. When God calls us, the harvest is when he calls us. It's not 6 months from now. It's not 2 years from now. It's now. And I want you to understand that God has a timing. And the timing, I believe, God has shared with me and so many pastors, so many churches, is now. Not when everything clears out. Not when I get ready. Now. Now. You see, I have been called to a holy life, as I preached on for 7 Sundays, or 6 Sundays. It is like our Savior Jesus. Holiness is not being perfect, but surrendering and submitting myself to he who is holy, following his lead in what it means to be holy. And what did Jesus do that was so unbelievably different? He went into the highways and hedges and compelled them to come in, and he shared life with them. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 through 5. "Coming to him as to living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also," who? We as Christians. "You also, as living stones, are being built up into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." And what are these spiritual sacrifices we offer unto God? It is ministry and service to others. "For as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me." So when do we do these things? Now. Now. When God called Moses, and he was up on the mountain, and he looked into the burning bush, God says, "I want you to go now." Moses said, "Not right now. I've got children to take care of. My wife just had a newborn baby." God said, "Now." Moses said, "Why? Why now?" And God God said, I've heard my people crying. They are in desperate need. They have lost all hope. Now is the hour. Not wait 1 minute. Don't wait 1 day. It is now that we go. Church of Jesus Christ in the entire world, hear me. It is now is the hour to go. We want everything to get straightened out, everything to get clear, and then we'll go. No, God's called us to go now. And I'm telling you, this comes from God. He has burdened me with this. He has laid it on my heart. We as Christians are waiting for stuff to change, and God is saying, stop waiting, go. Now. What is the spiritual sacrifices we're called to make? To give unto others as we would have them give unto us. Moses could not have gone through that conversation. He thought it in his heart, but God told him to start with, my people are crying out, you need to go right now. And you're going to go to Egypt, and you're going to ask that they be set free. I want us to look and think about this for a second. All around us are people who are desperate, in need of hope. Some ready to commit suicide this day. Now, I understand the need for us to protect ourselves and protect others. But on the other hand, we come in contact, most of us, with people every day, even through the telephone. People call us. I don't know about you, but I get a dozen calls a day that are dumb calls. Of people trying to either hoodwink me or sell me something. They need Jesus too. I've come up with a plan in my own life, and I have things that I say to those people. You say, well, hang up on them. Well, you know, I think God has given us the hour to do something as Christians. What about people that you see at the grocery store? Yesterday, no, this was earlier in the week. I went to PT at an outpatient. And when I went, there was a lady. She was coming out. And she was in a wheeled walker, and I was with my cane. And I said, I've graduated. And she looked at me, and she said, how's that? And I said, I'm on cane now. I'm not on my walker anymore. And I said, God is good. And she said, all the time. We didn't have to get into that conversation. We got masks. We want to protect each other. We had a long conversation standing there on the sidewalk. It was good. It was good. And I think she needed it as much as I needed it. We both had masks on, but we were conversing. We were sharing. And God laid on my heart at that moment, I want my people to continue to reach out and love and care. When we become so burdened about ourselves that we can't even carry on a conversation, we got problems as a church. As people. And I'm saying take precautions, but don't stop ministering to people. In 1979, and I'm going to share a very heart-wrenching story with you that so is applicable. I was at Lake Robinson. It was about this time of year in August. It's a hot day, and I was on a pier, and a friend of mine had a boat, and we had been out in the boat. We were just sitting on the dock, and all of a sudden, a little landing nearby, a beach landing, there was some kids that started yelling, he's gone, he's gone. So we turned over and looked, and we said, what is he talking about? He said, my brother's gone, don't know where he is. So we sort of ambled over there very slowly and said, what's going on? And they said, my brother, he was here, and now he's gone. I said, you sure? He didn't go somewhere. No, he's here. I saw him go under, and he didn't come back up. So we dove in. We began to dive. We spent the next 5 or 6 minutes diving. That might not seem like long, but that was a long time. And then we got desperate. We said, go get the boat. So we pulled the boat over. We had a rope, and we put a little anchor thing with a hook on it and began to drag to see if we could pull something up, because we couldn't find it. All the while, everybody, several people in there, just stepping on the, it was a very murky river. We began to step, and suddenly we said, did somebody call the rescue squad? And a girl came up. She said, soon as I heard it, I called the rescue squad about 15 minutes ago. We continued to look for this boy who had disappeared. Finally, after 40 minutes, the rescue squad showed up. The rescue squad was 1 mile from our location. And they were on duty. When they got there, they sort of walked down. They got out of their cars. And they went around to the back. They opened it up. And they started pulling out tanks and rubber gear to put on, wetsuits. And I'm sitting here going, what are you doing? Where have you been? And they just looked, kept going. And I said, and I went up to them, and I got so angry, I started to really get angry. I was almost crying angry. And the guy that was with me, he said, let me talk to him, because he was a little bit more in control. He went up to him, he says, we want to know, where have you been? And they said, when you called, we figured it would be another 10 minutes before we get there. He's already gone anyway. So if he's drowned, he's dead. What? You figured all that? You assumed all that? We know what assume means. We got so upset. I have never been so upset in my life. Within 2 or 3 minutes, when he dove in his frogman gear and went down in there, he in 2 or 3 minutes, he said, bring me a body bag. And then we got him the body bag, and he put the child in there and then put him in the canoe that they had pulled out there, pulled it in. And we were so mad we couldn't even speak at that point. We just stood there and stared. We were there for the full week. So it sort of, if you can imagine, it dampened our week. But on Saturday, our last day there, we noticed a lady standing in the water, barefoot, right in the place where this child had gone down. And we walked over and said, why are you crying? She says, my son drowned right here. She was from New York. Her child had come down on vacation and had drowned. I feel like that there are many times we as Christians are just like the rescue squad. There's not much I can do. These people have already decided what they're going to do. I have nothing to say. Who am I? Or, you know, by the time I get to them, they've already made their decision. Some of them are already going to commit suicide anyway. So, who, you know, they're on their own. When Jesus sent out his disciples, he was sending them to hopeless people. Did they know what to do? No. Had they ever done it before? No. Were they good at it? No. But because Jesus called them, and who were these great theologians that he was sending out? No, he was sending out common people, fishermen, to go out and do his ministry. People with sickness that had a death sentence on them, he sent. He sent them to people with no income and were starving. He sent them to people ravaged by oppressive Roman soldiers. He sent them to people who had no belief in God or any thought of forgiveness, who were so caught up in guilt and hate and fear that they were angry. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1 through 8. And when he had called his 12 disciples to himself, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. First, Simon, who is called Peter, Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James the son of Alphaeus and Lebeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Sending out the twelve Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, "Do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Excuse me. "And as you go, preach, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have been received, freely give. The kingdom of heaven is at hand." I believe that these days are the way they are because God is saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I believe the reason we stand in the midst of a pandemic is because God is saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I believe that the reason we have so much violence in our country is because God is saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I believe the reason there are so many people that are hopeless and helpless is because God has allowed things to happen in such a way that he could say, through us, through his people, through his disciples, through those he called to heal the sick, cast out demons, and bring deliverance, he's called us to go and to deliver them. When? Now. I want you to know that I struggle with this as much as you struggle with it. But I am as burdened, as I hope you are burdened, that today is the day God is moving. It is the hour when people are open. It is the hour when they're crying, "What can I do next?" It is the hour of salvation for many people. We as Christians cannot miss this opportunity. Now, I'm not calling this church to go out and to witness walking down the streets or whatever. What I am doing is I'm calling you to witness wherever you go, to minister to whoever you want to minister to whoever you need to minister to. I am calling you as Christians to do something a little different. This is what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to call the church to do it, if you would do it with me. And it's to fast and pray. Maybe you've never done this before. It's not a week-long fast or even a very long fast, but on Mondays from Sunday night when the sun goes down till Monday evening when the